eat your eggs too much, right? You don't want them to be rubbery.
Yeah, that's no good.
Right. I did add a little extra milk when I made them.
Okay.
So they're a little on the wet side, which I was like, you know, maybe that'll benefit me the next day.
Right. Are you thinking 1 minute?
Oh, yeah. What's the? That's a whole nother story. Do you do 47 seconds or do you do increments?
You know what I mean? I was actually feeling like I'm more on the 47-second mark.
Yeah.
I do funny things like that. Like, I have an alarm on my phone to when to leave my house after my son gets on the bus. And, you know what I mean? I could put it at 7:10, but I was like, I'm going to make it 7:11.
Oh, my gosh, Jen. You got to swing by him. We got to meet you somehow.
That is not me at all.
That is
John
me
always.
To a T.
Oh, my gosh. And we just heard from...
Well, you know what? We've talked about volunteering for, oh, my gosh, green cheese.
Oh,
but
that would be great.
It hasn't happened yet, but I feel like that would be a really great experience.
Oh, you'd be great. We just heard from Julie from Sandpoint, Idaho. And, you know, you think you feel better. She said, your gal Jen is so funny. Love her laugh. You made someone else's day by calling in. So thank you, Jen.
Well, that's nice to hear.
Yeah.
Well,
I was actually on green cheese, or not green cheese, oh my gosh. Well, I was on green cheese, but I was on What's for Breakfast, like, my goodness, it was probably like 9 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So she's not that, were you living in Pengilly at the time?
I wasn't. No, I was living north of Nashua.
Okay, so it still could be one of our first Pengilly guests.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And 9 years ago, you were 17. So
yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Boy, I wish.
Thank you so much for making our day. And
yeah.
Hope everything works out with the kids. And have a good day, all right?
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yep, thanks for calling.
You are listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people in the land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Operating translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you, like Jen, to support this local media. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234.
Green Cheese listeners know how important it is to support stations like KAXE, KBXE.
Anyone who can, be sure to donate, because as all of us know, we listen to this Green Cheese and all the other programming on the stations. We really, really love it and don't want anything to happen to it. So it's really important to give what you can.
One thing I wanted to do is I wanted to talk to everybody out there. Radio is important when it's unique and it's interesting and it's local. And given your current funding situation, everybody out there should be doing something about that, no matter how little it is. If everybody did something, it makes a tremendous difference. Think about Saturday nights with no green cheese. That sounds terrible.
It would be so boring.
This is the queen, and I'm going to make an edict. All cheeses, get your checkbooks out and send in some money to our favorite station and show, and my check will be in the mail tomorrow.
Donate now at KAXE.org.
Hello, friend, I mean you. You ain't got to be shy or cool. Grab yourself a chair, set yourself down, it's okay. You can probably smell that cornbread cooking. Sadie's cakes, ooh, they so good looking. There's a plenty of food, go ahead and fix you a plate. All of our friends are now your friends. That's how we do it here. Stay as long as you like. That's all right. We got plenty of beer.
We got chicken. We got fruit. We got plenty of food. So come on up. There's room on the porch for everyone. Come on up. There's room on the porch for everyone. Who you are, you'll be accepted.
problem with the world these days is people hide what they should say. But not today. Speak your mind and set yourself free.
Even if you go away, the more you come, the more you stay. 'Cause round here you'll only be a stranger for one day.
So call your cousins, sisters and brothers. Call them up and tell them I said, come on up. There's room on the boat for everyone.
We're listening to a new album out from Taj Mahal and Keb Mo. Room on the Porch is the name of the album. That this song is the title cut, and it features Ruby Amanfu. Good music you hear on KAXE, good conversation, sports, dogs, large portion collies or spaniels. That's what we heard about earlier. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer, and we'd like to thank our business supporters like Headwaters Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Bemidji. They gather at 10 on Sundays now through May at the Headwaters Peace Center, headwatersuu.org. And thanks to the Grand Dental Center, where Drs. Lisa Johnson, Leanna McBride, and their staff provide full-service family dental care for patients of all ages in Grand Rapids and surrounding communities. More information at granddentalcenter.com. Weather today?
It's going to be sunny today, highs 60 to 63 to be to be specific. North winds 10 to 25 miles per hour. Clear tonight, lows in the upper 30s. Saturday, sunny, temps in the low to mid 60s. And then Sunday, showers likely and breezy. Mostly cloudy, temps in the mid to upper 60s, and we hope for rain on Sunday.
Sports page is coming up. We receive support from Minnesota Power, an elite company powering the region's homes, businesses, and industries since 1923. Learn more about its vision of a carbon-free future at mnpower.com/energyforward.
Then I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. But kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it. The sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It's 9 minutes after 8 o'clock. It's time for another edition of the sports page. Kyle Erickson's on the phone. Fred Friedman's in the attic. Heidi Holton's sitting across from me. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Megan Buffington's off at a conference.
She's on assignment.
Representing KEXE. We're glad for that. Thanks, guys. Where do we start today?
I feel we need to start with the MLB playoff game last night between the Dodgers and the Phillies. Bases loaded, two outs. Philly had to win to keep moving on. And there was a cheap little bouncer to the pitcher, Orion Kerkering. And he panicked. He kind of bobbled it. He had all day to throw to first, but he threw it home wide. And gentlemen, did you see it? Fred, did you see it?
I did.
Kyle, did you see it?
It's a surprisingly difficult play to make coming off the mound, off the uneven surface, and making a throw in a hurry. And you said it right, John. He panicked. If he had caught the ball cleanly, it was a very easy play at first base. After the bobble and with his momentum going toward the plate, I think he did the right thing in trying to throw home. I don't know if he would have got him at first or not, but he just made a terrible throw, and heartbreak continues for Phillies fans.
Oh, my gosh, Fred. They just felt bad for the guy. Oh, my gosh.
Nobody throws to the home plate more than the pitcher, right?
Yeah, comfort.
And of course, he'll go down in Philadelphia history, so I feel sorry for him. I do get a kick out of seeing Harrison Bader and Max Kepler deep in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And how about this? North St. Paul's Louis Varland starting for the Toronto Blue Jays against the hated Yankees and getting interviewed on national television after the game. Right?
Yeah.
But no, they're not good enough to play for the Twins. But Toronto will be a big favorite, you know, against either Detroit or Cleveland to get to the World Series.
Yeah.
And there's Louis Varland, who had three years of control over, giving him away. So let's
set the table a little bit. Toronto beat the Yankees. They're in the championship game, and Detroit and Seattle must maybe play today, tonight.
They play this evening in Seattle. And I'll remind everybody, Seattle has never been to the World Series.
Oh, my gosh. Then we got to root for them. Yeah.
Wait, would this just in from Malachi? Go Brewers.
Oh, go. Yeah, we're just getting that. Milwaukee and the Cubs, they're locked in at 2-2. And now that game, I think, must be in Milwaukee.
It is. And the winner of that game plays the Dodgers with their monster payroll and their Japanese television money and their American television money. And calling that a home game, it's a home game, but you all understand it's only 85 miles from Wrigley Field to the Milwaukee Stadium.
Yeah.
They both get all 162 games a year on their TV package, right, of both teams.
So it's an exciting time. We got Major League Baseball. We got hockey starting. We got NBA starting. We got everything. WNBA is going on. It's a kind of crazy intersection to the start and the end of sports.
You know what they all have in common?
What's that?
Underperforming Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota franchises.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we move off baseball, we should probably touch on news that the Twins Brain Trust decided to part ways with Rocco Baldelli.
Yeah. Yeah, we kind of hashed over that in the past. Yeah. Rocco's gone. The big question is, who are we getting? Who are we getting? Fred, who do you want?
Yeah, who do we get?
Kyle, who do you want? Let's start with you. Who do you want to be the coach?
Tom Kelly. Come on, Tom. Come out of retirement. Even keel. Let's go.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine the walk to the mound?
That's not going to happen.
Okay, realistically now.
I don't know. I've been just kind of enjoying the fact that, you know, they made a sensible choice. And I don't think there's a manager in the world that's going to help them for the next few years because the cupboard's going to be pretty bare. So I would look for somebody who has a track record of developing young talent. That's our life for the next probably 4 or 5 years is a lot of young players, some fill-in free agents that, you know, that they can acquire on the cheap. And so look for somebody who's good at getting the most out of kids.
And who is that, Fred?
James Rowson.
Oh, you're kidding. Really?
Their former hitting coach who they fired, who immediately got grabbed by the Yankees as their batting coach. He's my favorite. I know they're interviewing him. I know they're interviewing recently retired catcher who caught for everybody, an assistant coach with the Angels. You'll recognize this name, Kurt Suzuki. And I'm sure they'll give courtesy interviews to Ron Guidenhire's son, Toby, who's the manager over in the Saints. And I don't know. Maybe they'll give an interview to Torrey Hunter, but he's never managed.
So
my favorite is Rowson.
So, Kyle, you just talked about somebody that develops young talent. So a Toby Guidenhire is a guy that gets guys that are pretty young and trying to develop them for the professional league. Is he something that's in your headlights?
Well, given, I don't think I would go internal, given the struggles that the Twins have had in really developing their best young draft picks, I think I would look outside the organization. Although, we should note that they have actually developed some young talent recently, and then they shipped it out as part of the July fire sale. So, you know, who knows? Maybe Guidenhire would be an okay choice.
So Fred's throwing some names out there. I don't even know names. Aren't there like 7 teams that need new managers? And we're going to be low on the pecking order. 8?
8, and we're way low on the pecking order because some of those teams are competitive. If I had my choice of any jobs, I'd take the Braves because they have all this talent and they're way underperformed.
Yeah. Okay.
And some managers are going to get multiple offers. Excuse me, some candidates are going to get multiple offers.
Yeah, for sure. And Rocco Baldelli will probably get multiple offers.
I could easily see that happening.
All right, let's.
It's like all the multiple offers in public and private radio stations that Heidi Holton gets all the time.
Yeah, she gets them left and right. It's ridiculous. Kyle, I know you have something you want to say about Rocco getting picked up by somebody.
Well, he is at least a known quantity, even if what we know about his quantity isn't really good. So he'll end somewhere. He'll end somewhere probably in a mid-market team that needs an experienced manager. And, you know, even though his experience wasn't uniformly good, at least he's got some. So I wish the guy well. He seems like a really nice guy who really doesn't know how to manage a pitching staff. And you move on.
Okay, let's move on because this could get ugly. All right, let's talk about the WNBA. The Phoenix is getting hammered by Miss Smith. The Las Vegas Aces are taking it to them. There's been some good games. But
Asia Wilson.
I'm sorry. Okay. Asia Wilson.
Yeah.
She's
Alyssa Thomas. It's fast, good basketball. They lost only by 2 points, but tonight will probably, don't you guys think, be the last game? They're at home, and I think the home team really helped them out the other night. But, poof, these are tough teams. I ran into Scott Hall the other day. I always have to ask him to help me with my feelings about the WNBA and stuff, you know, because I just felt like, what happened to the Lynx? And he said there was a point, he said they were playing so well, everyone else knew it, and they had to get to the level of the Lynx at midpoint. And he goes, everybody's playing such good basketball right now. So isn't that sweet of him?
That's so nice.
He helps me through it.
He's so compassionate.
Scott the therapist. So.
I know. It's funny. But
Heidi, you don't seem at all surprised the way I'm reading you that the Aces are, you know, dominating this.
You know, I am a little bit because I thought I was rooting on the Mercury. I don't know why, but I thought that they could pull off a couple of games at least because of the way they were playing. But, you know, Satu Sabli got hurt the other night, so they're not going to have her out there. She's been getting some great threes. So I'm not really surprised. And though Alyssa Thomas is amazing at passing and, you know, shooting, of course, she's one person, and she can't really go up against the size of Asia Wilson.
Wilson's,
you know?
She reminds me of McHale. She has such great footwork.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, she's the MVP of the league for a reason. So,
I love that the press is giving them coverage, the TV's giving them coverage, that the audiences are so much larger than they were just 10 years ago. I think that's really important. And I look forward to a winner of a lot of drama in conference rooms in the WNBA.
Yeah,
I hope they're, you know, figuring out their contracts goes well. I mean, it's going to be really interesting what happens. And then coming up after, I think in January or February, will be the 3-on-3. But a lot of the players still going overseas, you know, very lucrative for them to play overseas. Speaking of that, since I was kind of missing the Minnesota Lynx, and WNBA stuff, it was kind of in the lull. I watched a documentary series on Diana Taurasi that was on Amazon. Wasn't that fascinating, Fred?
Very.
Yeah, her immigrant parents, her 4 years in Russia, and the murder of her coach. And, I mean, oh my, and you just got to know her. She was so tough that you didn't see a humanity to her sometimes when she was out there.
She does not come from a suburban, upper-middle-class background. She didn't go to some fancy suburban high school.
Yeah.
She didn't have girlfriends and boyfriends who are now heavy hitters in industry. You know what I mean? None of that stuff.
Yeah.
Thus her toughness.
Right, for sure. And even, so I, you know, of course was not, I don't mean I wasn't alive. I was alive when the WNBA started, but was not interested at that time. But when she got in there, you know, they had to make her into more of like a princess in her photos. And she, you know, it was a different era and needed to wear makeup and long curl her hair and all this stuff. And so that made me happy of like how the WNBA embraces all kinds of women now and lets them be who they want to be.
All true. All true.
This text just in, and it happens to be from my son, and I am so proud of him. This is the same thing I should see as the Twins manager is Dan Gladden.
That's interesting. What,
whatever keeps him out of the broadcast booth, I'm in favor of.
Oh, Kyle, you are so tough. I've always...
I wouldn't hate Gladden as a manager. He really knows the game. He's got some fire in him, which they probably need, and could bring maybe a little bit of that more aggressive, old-school base running and defense mentality that was an important part of their World Series teams.
All right.
Well, we all know great talent on the field doesn't make you a great coach or manager. Exhibit A, Ted Williams, right?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Really struggled as a manager.
But it's an attitude I think he would bring something to old school. A little bit of toughness, but, you know, that's not going to happen. So
I will, John, remind everybody quickly that Baldelli has one huge advantage over these other people that got fired, and that's where the Twins got to pay him for all of next year.
Yeah. So here's something I want to bring up. I watched the Gophers get crushed by Ohio State in football, and I've always thought this, you know, when you come up in a sport, you're always trying to get better, and you're trying to play under the same rules as it is when they get older. Why, and Fred, let's start with you, why on earth do college football receivers only have to get one foot in bounds, and why do they not change that? That makes absolutely no sense to me, and I'm just wondering why it makes sense to somebody else.
I think the NCAA very much wants to have different rules, wants to separate themselves from the pro game, and that's the only reason. I'll give you two examples. You just named one of them, one foot in bounds. The other thing is if you throw the ball 40 yards downfield and you're worried that the receiver's going to catch it and you're a DB, of course you should knock them on their behind because it's only a 15-yard penalty. It's not spot a foul, which is insane because that rewards penalties if you think about it, right? Mm-hmm. Especially towards the end of the game. So I think that's the reason why. There's several other rules about the punts going into the end zone. There's some other things that are different. I totally agree with you.
Kyle?
I've always thought of the one-foot in bounds thing as being a player safety issue, and I have no idea if that's really how they think about it. But if you think about a receiver who's trying to catch a ball on the boundary and is just laser-focused on the ball, can't defend himself at all, and if you need to get 2 feet in bounds, the defender's got a lot of incentive to, you know, hit him really hard and try to knock him off balance. And they're basically defenseless. And if they only have to get 1 foot in bound, then maybe the defender goes for the ball more because it's easier for him to just tap the toe. But then that's weird because of what Fred just mentioned and the spot foul versus 15-yard pass interference penalty, because if a guy gets beat, then he can just tackle the receiver. So I don't know, maybe it all just balances out.
And you know
the
what?
NCAA, as we have discussed for years, is not a terribly logical organization.
You know what else I bet, and I'm probably guaranteed this, when these college football teams practice, I bet when they get to the sidelines, they put both feet in bounds. You know, I don't think they practice 1 foot. That's easy.
The other rule distinction, which I don't like, I think it makes the NFL look bad, is this. As we all know, in college football, all levels of college football, you target somebody with a head-to-head, helmet-to-helmet hit, 15-yard penalty, personal foul, you're out of the game, and you're out of the first half of the next game. NFL, ho-hum, 15-yard penalty, pay a fine, which they can easily afford, and move on, right? So that's a huge, huge difference in rules. You throw a superstar out of the game in college, that matters, especially for rosters that are thin.
Yeah.
So pro, just a fine, no effect on the game.
So we got to touch base. The Wild opened the season. The NHL started, as has the NBA. Well, maybe the NBA hasn't quite yet started. The Wild beat St. Louis at St. Louis 5-0. Looked pretty good. But They looked very, very good. Kaprizov looks very happy. Of course, I would be very happy, too, with $138 million in the bank. But lots of stuff going on. Anything else? I mean, there's so much. We're going to talk soccer a little bit later with the boys. They're going to join us a little bit later on. Anything else on your guys' mind? Okay.
Ready? Here we go for the trivia. Or Kyle, you got something?
Well, for everybody who enjoys the great Minnesota outdoors, in this edition of the sports page, as we chat, I'm out catching chunky fall largemouth bass on the Crow Wing County area lake. So, folks, days are short. Winter is coming.
Yeah.
It's the most beautiful time of the year. Get out there and fish or chase some grouse or take a walk in the woods. This is the best season for my money in Minnesota, so enjoy it.
Fishing is good right now.
Does it count that I'm going to be hitting a golf ball in 55 minutes?
No.
Oh, come
Absolutely.
On. Yeah.
I got fishing on my brain. Sorry. Yep. All right, here we go. We got our trivia. Some games, names, and teams in the news this week. For example, last week's Slovenian road cyclist Tade Pogacar added the European Road Championship to his wins this year in the Tour de France and the World Championships to become the most dominant rider in cycling in the last 50 years. First question, he hit two home runs in a 3-2 playoff win against the Tigers.
Polanco.
Yes. Okay.
Jorge Polanco, ex-twin. Crushed the ball.
Oh, it didn't say twin. Yeah, okay.
It is.
Who said you give her the ball and get out of the way?
Who said that? I don't know.
Las Vegas Aces coach Becky Hammond on the play designed for Asia Wilson at the end of the game, game three in the WNBA finals.
Yes, yeah, so she's probably saying there's not much markings on the dry wet board. It's just give her the ball.
Yes. What former University of Iowa All-American and current member of the Las Vegas Aces is from Port Wing, Wisconsin, and was the Big Ten and National Collegiate Player of the Year in 2019.
Yeah. I know this. It's pronounced either Gunderson or Gustafson.
Gustafson. So. Yep, Megan Gustafson.
Wow.
This Minnesota collegiate football team is undefeated and ranked number 10 in the Division II coaches poll.
St. Thomas?
UMD.
Yes.
Oh, UMD.
Yeah. Didn't St. Thomas move up to
They're Division One.
Division One, not the bowl division, but the championship division.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That was my mistake.
This Northern Minnesota high school football team is 6-0 and ranked number 2 in 3A. Megan Buffington's hometown.
Oh, Pequot Lakes. That's cool.
Yep. Piers is ranked 3rd and Grand Rapids is ranked 5th in 4A. This Indiana Fever guard led the WNBA in 3-point field goals this season.
Is it, I don't know, is it
Clark?
Nope.
What? Who?
Kelsey Mitchell. She's been great out there.
She was pretty good.
Yeah. He has 187 home runs and 434 runs batted in over the last four seasons.
That's got to be Aaron Judge.
Nope.
No.
I've got a hint when you need it.
Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, you got it, Kyle. Oh. And the final question.
Go ahead, Heidi.
In 2001, what current playoff team tied the 1908 Chicago Cubs Major League record of 116 regular season wins?
Seattle.
The Mariners, yep.
There you go.
Wow.
And did not get to the World Series. 116 wins and did not get to the World
Series. Oh, really? Oh, boy.
Yeah. Painful.
Well, I'm being selfish. Let's all root for Seattle to get to the World Series and win son of a gun.
They earned it. They deserve it. Yeah.
Okay, you guys, have a good weekend. Get outside. Talk to you later.
Thanks for the photo, Kyle. We just got a picture.
See you, folks.
Kyle in the boat.
Oh, Kyle in the boat.
Coming up, we've got local news with the Up North Report, and we would like to thank Grand Itasca Clinic and Hospital for their support. They're home to an experienced OBGYN team providing comprehensive women's health services, maternity, and advanced gynecology care all in Grand Rapids. Learn more at granditasca.com.
I also want to thank the Edge Center for the Arts in Big Fork presenting Sketches of Minnesota, a civic community comedy tour on Saturday, October 11th. Doors at 5, dinner at 6, open to all with registration required. Info at edcenterarts.org.
We bring you the local news with the Up North Report. Just a disclaimer that when this was recorded, there's a different situation going on with the wildfire that we are keeping you updated. What you hear coming up, the fire has more than tripled in size and the DNR is closing a portion of the Superior Hiking Trail. And we are going to have updates on that coming up at KAXE.org.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. A wildfire that started Wednesday has grown to 50 acres in George H. Crosby Manitou Park near Tofte in Lake County. The Minnesota Interagency Fire Center reports the fire is burning in mixed maple hardwoods and fall leaf litter, primarily in a remote ridge area of the park. Steep terrain is making access to the fire area more difficult for firefighters, but the fire didn't change much overnight. Crews were working on establishing a containment line around the fire's perimeter Thursday. The state park and the Superior Hiking Trail remain open to public use, but due to the increase in firefighting activity, officials are advising visitors to use caution. The criminal vehicular homicide case against Cynthia Cindy Martin will move forward after the judge denied motions to suppress evidence and dismiss the case. Chelsea Perkins gives us the details.
65-year-old Martin of rural Grand Rapids is accused of hitting and killing 19-year-old Carter Haythcock with her SUV. She then drove away from the site on Highway 169 near Nashwalk the night of July 3rd, 2024. In a Wednesday order, Judge Heidi Chandler ruled there is sufficient probable cause for the trial to proceed. Chandler further ruled that evidence gathered as part of a driving while intoxicated investigation will remain in the case record. On the date of the incident, law enforcement responded to a report of a person lying in the middle of the road. Haythcock was pronounced dead at the scene. Martin called to report her possible involvement in the incident early the next morning. She allegedly told law enforcement that she thought she hit an owl or a turkey when they arrived at her home to investigate. After she said she'd consumed 5 milligrams of prescribed hydrocodone over the course of the day of the crash, a DWI investigation occurred. Months later, the results of Martin's blood test were negative for all the substances for which it was tested. DWI is not a charge she faces in the case. The incident and prosecution of the case have been under public scrutiny because of Martin's political leadership positions. Martin is the chair of the 8th Congressional District DFL Party and vice chair of the Itasca County DFL Party, according to the organization's websites. A plea hearing is scheduled for November 5th in Itasca County District Court. Chelsea Perkins, KAXE News.
The Minnesota Department of Human Rights has secured two settlements of what it calls blatant workplace sex discrimination from northern Minnesota employers. Lakes Concrete Plus in Bemidji reached a $45,000 settlement over its unlawful firing of a concrete truck driver. According to an investigation, the truck driver was fired on account of her sex, with Lakes Concrete reportedly telling her that driving a concrete truck was not, quote, woman's work, and that she should find a job, quote, more fitting. Key Lime Air in Thief River Falls also reached a $45,000 settlement with a qualified applicant they refused to hire on account of his sex. The department found that Key Lime Air has a practice of only hiring women as flight attendants because it believes women are, quote, better than men for the position. Minnesota's civil rights law requires employers to prevent and address sex discrimination with job applicants and employees. The Federal Small Business Administration has opened a disaster loan outreach center at Bemidji's Fire Station No. 2. The agency is offering low-interest disaster loans for businesses, private nonprofits, and residents affected by the June 21st severe storms. The center will be closed on Monday in observance of Indigenous Peoples/Columbus Day, but is otherwise open during the federal government shutdown. Hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturdays. Businesses and nonprofits can apply for business physical disaster loans and borrow up to $2 million to repair or replace disaster-damaged or destroyed assets. Homeowners and renters are eligible to apply for home and personal loans up to $100,000 to replace or repair personal property. Homeowners can also apply for up to $500,000 to replace or repair their primary residence. Find more information at KAXE.org. That's it for the Up North Report. Find more of our stories and photos at KAXE.org, where you can also find content from our music, phonology, and morning show teams. Sign up for the Buzz newsletter for the week's best stories and audio from your favorite community radio station. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank,
serving the area since 1920 with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
Coming up next, we've got more from Morning Edition. There is a new documentary coming out. It's directed by Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks' son, who's an actor and director. And it is about the late, great John Candy. It's called I Like Me, and it celebrates his life and work. His kids were very involved in this. I've seen some of the press they've been doing. Ryan Reynolds was one of the producers, the actor, and Jim Belushi and different people, you know, who knew and loved him and admired the work that he did. So we're going to hear about that movie that's coming up in a few minutes here on People Powered, KAXE.
Never forget Uncle Buck when he made the pancakes and he had to flip it with a shovel.
Mm-hmm.
That was fantastic.
Well, I remember the Schmengi brothers.
Oh, yeah. Rick McDonald's been sending me Schmengi brothers videos.
The clarinet and the one and a two.
We would like to thank the Boreal Brushworks Painting in Bemidji, providing full-service interior painting in residential and commercial locations in northern Minnesota since 2009. BorealBrushworksPainting.com.
After Morning Edition, we're going to be hearing from Chris Walker and DJ Dang. We're getting some updates on local soccer, state, national soccer. We'll get all the talk on the soccer. If you want to add to the conversation, you are always invited. You can text us at 218-326-1234. Breezy north winds 10 to 25 with sunny skies, high 60 to 63. Clear tonight with lows in the mid to upper 30s. Don't forget, you can get updates on the wildfire near Tofty at our website at kaxe.org.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Layla Faldin.
And I'm A. Martinez. In the movie National Lampoon's Vacation, John Candy doesn't show up until practically the end, but he almost steals the whole show.
Sorry, folks, park's closed. The moose out front should have told you.
Even with the smaller roles, just like that one, or The Blues Brothers, or Home Alone, his presence elevated the scene. There was always just something universally endearing about John Candy. He became known to television audiences when he was in the cast of SCTV, basically Canada's answer to Saturday Night Live, and that led to its film work in movies such as Splash and Uncle Buck. He died more than 30 years ago, way too young, at the age of 43. There's a new documentary called John Candy, I Like Me, and it's directed by Colin Hanks. And I asked him a very unfair question. For anyone who doesn't know John Candy's work, if you could only show one of his performances, which one would it be?
I think the go-to is probably the I Like Me scene in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I think that's probably his most iconic part.
You want to hurt me? Go right ahead if it makes you feel any better. I'm an easy target.
This, you know, lovable, likable guy getting completely dressed down by a mean-spirited person.
Which was Steve Martin.
Which was Steve Martin.
I mean, of all people.
Of all people.
Yeah.
But the way that John performed that scene, I think it just, it resonated with people.
Well, you think what you want about me. I'm not changing. I like me. My wife likes me. My customers like me, because I'm the real article. What you see is what you get.
He always brought something that was human and genuine, even if it was absurd and slapsticky. There was still something there behind the eyes. And I feel like that's why we still talk about his performances.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, because of all the things he did in film, I don't know if people necessarily remember too much of SCTV and some of the subversive humor that was in that series. Let me play one scene from SCTV where John Candy plays the beaver.
That Eddie Haskell, he really makes me mad.
Why don't you kill him?
Nah, I could go to jail. Besides, it's against the law.
But Beaver, no one would have to know that you did it.
I don't know, Whitey. I don't even have a gun.
So there's that, and then he plays Yellow Belly, an Old West coward who shoots a mom and a kid in the back. He had that kind of dark humor in him, too.
Absolutely.
He came up with legend after legend after legend after legend. Dan Aykroyd, Gilda Radner, Martin Short. I mean, I can keep naming names. What do you think about him that stood out the most? What do you think it was?
I think he looked at things as, what can I do to elevate everybody else?
Yeah.
you know, Martin Short says it in the doc, he wasn't always going for the joke. That's not a good player. It's more about the group. And I think that combined with just his charm and his grace, I think that was really powerful and left a big impact.
John Candy's father died at a really young age. And throughout the film, it seemed like there was this theme of just like he was living with this, like a sadness, I think.
Once I found out about John's dad passing when John was 5 years old, and his dad was 35.
Yeah.
That really got me thinking about when you lose your father at that young age, you have coping mechanisms. And for John, that was, sure, it was eating and drinking and smoking, but it was hosting people, pleasing people, wanting to entertain people.
Picking up the check.
Picking up the check. Yeah. Like all of these things, like seeking that approval, you know. And these are all things that are great about John. But those coping mechanisms were starting to not work for him.
Conan O'Brien had a really interesting insight on this. Let's hear that clip.
A hazard of this business is that it's very unhealthy for people pleasers. Because if you're a people pleaser, they'll take whatever you got and they'll ask for more, and there's no end to it. It's a bottomless cup of coffee.
And I think he knew that, and he was trying to fix that before the clock ran out, because he was under the impression that he was living on borrowed time.
Do you think so? Like, really? Like, he knew that it was
I mean, he said,
coming,
he
right?
said, he said to people, very bluntly, he said, I'm not sure if I'm going to live past 35.
And John, I don't know if he struggled with his weight. I know he tried to lose weight. I don't know if he struggled with it as much as he struggled when people asked him about it, when interviewers asked him about it. Now, you have a clip of someone asking if he played roles differently if he were skinnier. This is a part of what he said.
I look at things through thin eyes, really. I never really consider anybody what they look like, their physical self, you know, it's really who's in the person is really what counts. I think that I learned over the years, you know, by having a large frame, you start, people treat you differently, you know, and it hurts sometimes, you know, a lot of people get hurt by it, you know.
This would also is the time in the interview where I do want to say, it is also a funny movie, by the way.
No, it's it is. I know.
It's not all drama and sad music. I just want to get that out there right now. But yes, that said, some of the things that these people said to him under the guise of a question and I'm just having fun, I was really heartbroken by just interview after interview what John had to deal with.
Did Hollywood want him big?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Now, your dad, Tom Hanks, worked with John Candy on the movie Splash. That came out in 1984, right?
Mm-hmm.
You came out in what, 7 years earlier?
7 years earlier,
okay,
yeah.
So you were young at the time. Do you have any memories of John at all?
Oh, God, yeah.
You do, okay.
Oh, I have very vivid memories of John. And he made me feel important. He made me feel heard. He made me feel seen in ways that, you know, young kids don't really do. People always refer to my dad as like the nicest guy in Hollywood, and I just want to scream, well, clearly you'd never heard of John Candy. I believe that there are certain people that are just born with a specific thing. You know, that thing could be talented in sports or music or whatever. And I think John's was, he just had that sense of making you feel better. And that's something that's worth celebrating.
That's Colin Hanks. He's the director of the new documentary, John Candy, I Like Me. That's streaming on Amazon Prime. Colin, thanks.
Thank you.
And we should note that Amazon is among NPR's financial supporters. This is NPR News.
You are listening to People Powered KAXE. Boy,
oh,
did
that
they
was
say
beautiful.
I was so locked in? Did they say where we can see it? Is it out in theaters?
No, I didn't. No, you
okay.
just get
we'll
locked
have to
in
look
the
it
stories.
Up. The new documentary on John Candy. My brother's listening in and sent a thing. We used to watch SCTV together and loved the Schmengi brothers and all of that. And they have a song, Cabbage Rolls and Coffee. Yum, yum, yum. I remember them doing that on Letterman.
Oh, yeah. And I also am surprised they didn't do this one, but he's got a boy. I think it's Uncle. Well, he's when he's taking care of these kids and they go into the principal's office. The principal's a woman. She's got a mole on her face and she's just kind of ripping the kid. And at the end, he flips her this coin and says, "This is a quarter. Why don't you have a like a rat chew that off your face. Mm. Not very kind, but it was so good.
Coming up, we talk soccer. We received support this morning from Headwaters Music and Arts in downtown Bemidji, offering music lessons and art programming for all ages. More at headwatersmusicandarts.org or on Facebook and Instagram.
And the Great Lakes Aquarium with its new exhibit, Lava to Lakes, offering a discovery into what was here before the land we call Minnesota, including sharks, jellyfish, and giant prehistoric fish. glaquarium.org.
Oh, this is good news for me. Julie Crabb, always in the know, says that the documentary on John Candy is on Amazon. So by next week, I may have watched it.
Myself a message.
It's time to check in again on Talk Soccer. We've got Chris Walker joining us, coach from Grand Rapids, and DJ Dang from Bemidji. But we're talking both high school, all soccer, professional. You guys, thanks for being here again.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us. Good morning.
Where do we begin?
Ooh, Chris. Dan, you want to start this time?
No, I think you have the bigger news, Chris.
Well, I'm still trying to down this cup of coffee right now, which is going to be the first of many, because we had our section semifinal game. The Grand Rapids varsity girls team had their section semifinal game at Duluth Denfeld last night. Our first game was Tuesday, since we hadn't spoken a week. Our first section opener was at home in Grand Rapids against Hibbing, and was a great game for us. We were victorious, and we were able to play a lot of our different girls, give them a lot of different time in the opener, including our 9 seniors. And so we advanced to the semifinals last night against Duluth Denfeld, and it was the third time that our team has played them this year. We had lost and we had tied, and so we felt it was only appropriate to go out there and win. And it was an interesting night, because 20 minutes into our warm-up, we saw lightning, and we faced, I think it was around an hour lightning delay, because every time lightning strikes in the area, it's a 30-minute delay, so you got to reset the clock. So we were having a great warm-up and spirits were high, and then we went and sat in the locker room for an hour. But the girls stayed loose, and when they came out, though, it was actually Denfeld, I think, that was a little bit more aggressive than we were, and scored to go up 1-0. And with about 10 minutes to go in the first half, lightning struck again in our area, and we faced another delay. But this time we thought it really worked out to our favor. The coaches, we talked, and we were able to kind of reorganize and talk about what was working well, some things we needed to clean up. And since that lightning delay happened, the girls came out, the Grand Rapids girls came out and controlled the remaining 10 minutes in the first half. And after a 2-minute halftime, I think the shortest halftime I've ever experienced, we started up again. And the second half it really felt like it was all Grand Rapids. And with about 20 minutes to go in the game, we had a free kick, and there was an incredible play to one of our all-conference juniors, Quinn Cargill, who buried the ball in the back of the net on the side netting. Just a wonderful little 1-2 pass and one-time shot. And then with 5 minutes to go in the game, we were awarded a penalty, and that is when, once again, Quinn Cargill stepped up, buried it, and I think I was talking to our other coaches, our head coach, Brooke Moses, assistant coach, Maggie Potter. They've been with the program, I think, 10 years now, close to, if not a little more. I can't recall exactly when they started, but they said we had never won in Duluth, at Denfeld, I should say, had never won at Denfeld. Last night was the first time we did. An incredible game, and we celebrated on the field afterwards. It was just so exciting. And now we host Hermantown, who upset the top seed, Cloquet. We host Hermantown on Tuesday for the section final to go to state. So if anyone wants to come watch some great high school girls soccer and support Grand Rapids, please, we want to pack the stands on Tuesday night.
What drama, Chris.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I got something for you.
Yeah, go for it.
That's a cup set right there. That we call that a cup set in soccer, where the number 3 seed takes down the number 2 seed. And Cloquet, who was the number 1 seed in Grand Rapids bracket, also got upset by the number 5 team, Hermantown. So, yeah, for now, Grand Rapids, like Chris just said, has a chance to go to state. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, and that is something that the girls' program has never done. This is only our second section final ever. And we played Hermantown once before. We did beat them, but we're not certainly expecting necessarily a game like that. We know it's going to be real tough, and we're going to have to get the girls ready. But spirits are definitely high this morning, I'll say that.
I mean, for the listeners out there, two lightning delays, like you can just imagine you want to play, you want to keep going, and then you have to sit around and wait. That's just, it's always a difficult circumstance. And then a PK with 10 minutes left in the game, you said, Chris?
Yeah, 5 minutes. It was five minutes left.
That's insane. The game is tied 1-1, and then a PK with 5 minutes left. Was it legit? Was the PK legit?
It actually was. I mean, and that's the thing is you have to, so much credit goes to the way the girls responded after the delay, because Duluth then felt really, I think, controlled the game more and, again, was more aggressive before that delay in the first half. And then we talked about just us needing to continue to play our game, and our girls came and they controlled the game, and we were just on the offensive the entire second half. And even after we tied up the game, you get that first goal, we knew we still needed to keep our foot on the gas and knew that we needed to carry that momentum towards the second goal. So it was a great individual effort by eighth grader, Tegan Skorczewski. She was in the box and made a great move on one of their defenders. And unfortunately for their defender, she kind of swiped at the ball and just missed it and took out one of Tegan's legs. So it was a pretty clear penalty, in my opinion. And then just a great finish from Quinn Cargill, because their goalie, Denfeld's goalie, guessed the right way, but wasn't able to get a hand on it.
Wow. Such drama. For folks that are not super into the world of soccer, for me, there's no greater theater in the sporting world than soccer, whether it's at a youth level or the professional level. It's just things like that happen too frequently that just raise the level of intensity and sort of dramatic flair in the game of soccer. That's so amazing. Congrats to you, Chris. I'm super stoked. And if I'm not playing in a section championship on Tuesday night myself, I will be driving over to Grand Rapids to support your team, because that's awesome.
Well, we'd love to see you there, but of course we're hoping you guys are in a final as well, because how cool would it be for our area to have a couple teams represented in a final. And a quick nod, too, we also have tomorrow night, I had to look this up, Walker, Hackensack, Akeley, LaPorte playing East Grand Forks for a chance to go to their section final. So, more northern teams, the better, right?
Totally. So if I can get to our little drama, which isn't nearly at the level of Grand Rapids girls varsity soccer drama at all, but Bemidji hosted our first section playoff game over at BSU on just a couple nights ago, and we played Alexandria, and it was a really physical game, really intense. I don't know what your opinion of playing soccer on turf is, Chris, but for me, it's a different game, almost. It's like soccer combined with pinball in a way, and it's just a totally different element. But that's the reality of what we face, especially in Minnesota with the weather being so crazy, as we play on artificial turf a lot. We won 1-0, and for me, the moment of the game was not the one goal that we scored, but it was this absolutely crunching tackle at the midfield that our forward Stella Schoonover made on an Alexandria defender, and we won the ball. Mika Novak picked the ball up, and the person that made the tackle, Stella Schoonover, popped right back up and did an overlapping run in towards the box, and Mika slid her the ball, and she smacked that ball into the far side netting, and that was it. That was the game, 1-0. We had a huge crowd out. Shout out to David John, one of our honor volunteers. He was there, as well as Darren White. There were a lot of KBXE folks at the game. And it was really exciting. It's always fun to win those playoff games at home. And now we have, as our reward, we get to travel to Buffalo on Saturday, tomorrow, to play the number 2 seed. Bemidji's the number 3 seed. Buffalo's the number 2. And we played them earlier in the year and lost 1-0 on kind of a fluke goal. So we know we're right there with this team. And if we beat them, we advance to this section championship game, which would also be on the 14th when Grand Rapids is playing. So we have a 7-hour round trip bus ride tomorrow, and hopefully it'll be a joyous return for the Bemidji girls to get back into town with a win and advancing to the section final, because much like Grand Rapids' goal now is to go to the state, so is ours.
Well, and hopefully no weather delays for you guys, or else it'll turn into many more hours.
Yeah, no, not at all. On the pro level, do you have anything to talk about, Chris?
I wasn't even really thinking of it, to be honest. We're still just basking in the what we call them in the soccer world as scenes, right? You just hear the term scenes when it's kind of a dramatic win, scenes at Denfeld last night. But no, I know the Loons played last weekend, won 3-0 against Sporting KC. That was actually the fun weekend that our Grand Rapids boys and girls teams went down to take in a game. So they have, I think, one more game before they wrap up their regular season. I think they're going to end up at the 4 seed in the playoffs. So hosting a first round playoff game, which will be exciting. It's definitely going to be a grind because there are just a lot of good teams in Major League Soccer.
Yep. And on the international front, it's a international break this weekend. So I think the U.S. is playing Ecuador tonight in a friendly at, I think, 7 o'clock or 7:30.
We just got a,
right, that's right.
We got a text in from Steve from St. Paul, Como. He says, how about the U-20 national team?
Yes.
Yep. Yes, so they're playing in a, so they have World Cups for different age levels. So the World Cup that most of us would know is the full adult team, and you can be pretty much any age to play in that team. But then they also have like youth World Cups. And so right now it's the U-20 Youth World Cup, I believe, down in Chile. Is that
correct,
right, Chris?
Yeah, and they beat, they beat France 3-0. I think that was in the group stage. And just yesterday in the knockout round beat Italy, I think by the same score, 3-0.
Yeah, it was 3-0.
I'm not confident on that. But, yeah, I mean, talk about a couple results against France and Italy, two blue bloods of international soccer. Their best, under-20 players. Granted, you know, there's maybe one or two of them playing at the senior level. But still, what a result for the U-20 Americans.
So Bemidji girls will play tomorrow in Buffalo. And then Tuesday is the next time for Grand Rapids girls soccer.
That's correct. Tuesday night in Grand Rapids, section final.
Okay.
And then once again, I think tomorrow again, Walker, Akinsack, LaPorte, Akeley's girls team is also playing tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. Cannot wait to hear what happens and check in with you guys next week, okay?
Yeah, let me add one thing real quick. For any of you that are soccer curious, go to that Grand Rapids game. If you're in the Grand Rapids area, go to that game Tuesday night. It's going to be top class atmosphere. I bet the Grand Rapids fans are going to bring it. They're pretty loud whenever we've played there. They let their voices be heard. And if you're just curious about soccer, and I'm saying this because I invited two of my friends to our section playoff game, and one of them was like, he's a baseball fan, hardcore Twins fan. He's like, I think I'm starting to like soccer. Like, it's just, it's an infectious sport. So go get infected.
All right. That is Dan Gannon and Chris Walker from KXE and KBXE. Thanks so much, you guys.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you.
Coming up, we're going to have Headwaters. It's with Malachi Coons. How exciting.
I know.
I was just locked in.
I think I might go to the game.
Yeah. Well, you have to after that from DJ Dang.
I'm going to get infected.
Some things going on in our region. We've got lots of weekend events. Besides the soccer in Buffalo for the girls, Bemidji girls, we've got Fall Flannel Fest in Virginia at the Culliva Hall with Sloppy Joe's. We've got Ludfisk at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Lake George tomorrow. And Lake Bemidji State Park has a Fall Fest Candlelight Adventure tomorrow, 6:30 to 8 p.m. And Heartland Symphony Orchestra performing on Sunday at the Gitche Zibe Center in Brainerd.
Lots of stuff happening. Make sure you're careful. Don't start fires. We got a bad fire going on right now, and just stay away from fires.
Updates are available at our website, kaxe.org.
Sunny today with highs 60 to 63 with breezy conditions with north winds 10 to 25 miles per hour. Clearing tonight with lows in the mid to upper 30s. Saturday sunny with temps in the low to mid 60s. And then on Sunday, let's hope it comes true, showers likely and breezy, mostly cloudy, temps in the mid to upper 60s.
We receive support from Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. You can learn more online at hottubsmn.com.
This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 in Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at kaxe.org.
Coming up later today, 1 o'clock, Jeff Edmonds is going to be our host for On the River, our volunteer-hosted music program. And then tonight at 7 o'clock, it is Dave Murphy. Right now, though, time for Headwaters.